Hour 2 Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 on the TSN app and, of course, on your home smart speaker. Brian Hazy, O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. We'll get to some role-play level of concern a little bit later in the hour. Got Ray Ferraro calling in here in just a minute.
How's your grazing routine?
You know what? I've actually cooled it off a little bit, like a little bit. And I'm just because I was going so bad for so long, man. Like the first month and a half, it was brownies, it was cookies, it was a quick handful of chips on the way down. Like it was brutal. And I could have grabbed fruit, right? Like there's vegetables. I could be like, hey, I'll just grab some celery and head down to the basement. Not possible. I didn't have the willpower to pull that off. And I have put on probably 3 or 4 pounds, but I've been steady at 3 or 4.
Like it's not insignificant. Yeah, it's
not out of control. Like my clothes still fit, and I still, like, I know I put on weight, but it's not like, wow, if someone saw me, they'd be like, dude, what have you been doing for 2 months?
But yeah, it's not a dime.
No, but that can happen quickly, right? Like once you get to 3 or 4, you keep grazing, you keep popping bottles of wine, couple beers here where you didn't usually do that, and it will hit a dime piece pretty quickly.
Yeah, it gets going. I'm pretty good with my routine, but I kind of got myself in a little bit yesterday because my daughter, who's 7, is being creative, and she made an angel food cake.
Ooh, I love that.
Well, see, that's the thing. I like sweets. I'm not a big, like, chips guy or anything, but, like, cake and muffins and stuff I enjoy. Angel food is the most unique cake in the world because it's just air.
Well, like, it's all the number one choking hazard on earth. The number one choking hazard. It is almost impossible to chew that properly. And isn't it? Like, how many times you've been like, oh, God, like, whoa, that's – like, it is air, but it's air that's filled with – something. I don't know. Yeah, it's filled with cake, I guess.
That's funny because I, like my dad, my only, like I've got a ton of memory of my father, but my dad used to eat a half of angel food cake. Like I'm not lying.
What's the calorie count on a half cake? Like is that 1500? Is it light?
It's
like
it's light. But yeah, it's light, but it's
got sugar
be
in there and.
Let's say it's 700. It's got to be 700 to 1,000. Like, but my dad would say it's all air. Like he would cut a half a cake and put it on his plate, and I just would laugh. So then, it was sitting on our oven, and I've just been grazing, walking by, grabbing a little nip here, grabbing a little nip there, and all of a sudden, like a full row is gone. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm my dad. I've just been chipping away at it. And, like, that's to me, that's been my kryptonite. I've been pretty good, and I think my weight is – I'm down a few pounds, I think, just because I'm doing lots of cardio. But it's that has been my kryptonite, just chipping away at cakes, walking by them every
day.
Yeah,
see, that – my oldest, she'll bake a little bit, but we have to bake for her, right? Like, she'll whisk or something and think that she's – put the whole thing together. So we avoid that. But I would guess, you know, Dylan's old enough probably to really push the ingredients and keep track of stuff and be on top of things. And
yeah, she's 7 and she's excited about it. And, you know, Estella, our nanny, helps out. And to me, like, it's something to do and it keeps her motivated outside of her schoolwork and stuff. So, and it's a beautiful day. Like the kids are in the pool today. So nice. You know,
it's as nice as it gets, man. I was out around 3 o'clock just before I came down here and it was it's beautiful. It's actually perfect weather. If you really if you like the heat, it's there for you. If you prefer it a little bit cooler, it's not out of control. There's no humidity, no breeze. It's just perfect. Like it's just beautiful outside. And it's supposed to be for the next 3 or 4 days. We might get some rain, but I think we're through the thick of it. I'm reluctant to truly commit to that because this is Canada and anything could happen. In a week, it might start snowing. But I think we're through it, and I think we're into the good stuff here. And it's going to be strange because, we haven't had sports. And then when sports comes back, it's going to be like, wow, we got months of this ahead of us where, like, the Stanley Cup playoffs are going to be – I would assume at least a couple of months long, and I think the NBA playoffs will be the same thing. I saw today they're still looking at playing regular season games in the NBA.
Yeah.
So they're still looking into that. Like maybe not full 82 games, but they want to get everyone to 70, So you're looking at maybe a handful, seven or eight regular season games, and I guess every team. That means Golden State's playing. Atlanta's playing. The Knicks are playing. That's what it
gotta
sounds
be tied,
like.
That's got to be tied to TV revenue or something like that. Like, to me, there's a business model involved there. Like, the NHL, I get it. Like, they're looking at, it's different, but you're asking Drew Doughty to come back for 11 games. And, you know, to me, that doesn't make sense. That's why I think the NHL with this 24-game model is at least onto something. The NBA, to me, there has to be something that's tied to it financially.
Has to be. Yeah.
You know what I
has
mean? Like, it doesn't make sense to bring guys back for 10 games or, you know, like that, unless there is, you know, it's an actual financial move. And the NBA, too, it's different. You can get them all down to Disney World. Like, you can play, you know, in a scenario where they're, you know, that bubble. I've been trying to envision what it's going to look like, how the city of Edmonton is trying to sell the National Hockey League on what this scenario is going to look like as far as entertainment, as far as how things are going to be contained, where the players are going to allowed to be to go and not, if they're going to have access to their family. Like, that's the million-dollar questions I have. Like, these NBA players, like, Disney World, is it Disney World or Land? It's Disney World, right? They're talking about?
I think it's World in Orlando. I always get that mixed up.
Yeah, though. I think it's Disney World. Disneyland is in Anaheim, I believe. So Disney World, it's a city. So you're basically
massive.
Just taking over a city. You're not. If the NHL's not taking over the city of Edmonton, they're
right.
just going to take
totally
over
different.
a little area there.
You know, and even that, there's only so far you can go. It's not like you can shut down something because the NHL's here. I mean,
right.
And what I mean by that is if someone's like, well, I have to walk by there, they're not going to be like, sorry, everything's closed for 2 months. We'll get the NHL here. I just don't think that's possible.
Right.
You still have to respect your own citizens. And I think the citizens of Edmonton would respect the NHL being there, and I get the impression like people are on board with it. I'm sure that's not a unanimous decision. I'm sure there would be some people that would be reluctant to have anyone come into their town right now. But
right.
I think, you know, Edmonton's pushing for it. The premier is pushing for it. That would indicate the mayor is pushing for it, I think, basically via the premier in the province. But Dreg's reporting that Edmonton is pitching entertainment options, which I think should go without saying, but maybe they haven't been brought up enough. I mean, you can't expect players, human beings, to go from their hotel to the rink, and do nothing, nothing for 2 months. So you mix in a golf course, and you know the golf courses, the big courses would be more than happy to be like, we'll hook you up whenever you want to come out. Like, that would be a real coup, because you'd get, hey, the pictures going, you'd get the promotion, you'd get NHL.com saying, hey, here's Sid teeing off at whatever the big course is.
Yeah, and, well, I think, you know, it's Edmonton, like the Ranch, you know, there's a golf course called like the Ranch outside of Edmonton there, really well-known golf course. Like, to me, you're right, it's Sid and it's the big boys. I still, Bob shot it down the other day, but would you be fine with the Oilers playing basically out of their home arena, though?
Yeah, I would be. I was shocked that wasn't going to be an option.
I see,
of course they should be playing in Edmonton.
I'm of the different mindset. Is I want everyone on the same page. And what I mean by that is, you know, and I want Ray's opinion on this, too, is everyone's going to be on the same page as far as what they're eating, where they're going to be housed, all of that. But if you're in your home city, there is a layer of familiarity with that arena.
What I would say is I think they'd have to be in the hotel with everyone else. Now, maybe that's where the hiccup comes, where they're like, well, that doesn't make sense. Let's bring in Ray. Here's Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. I always thought it went without saying that if Edmonton's a host, the Oilers would be playing in Edmonton. But apparently that's not necessarily the case. How would you feel about that?
Well, I do find it odd in a sense that if you can eliminate 40 people traveling, like, why wouldn't you do that?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Just one more tick into the positive column. They don't have to travel anymore. They have to, of course. Like, it's got to be in my as far as playing at home, you take away their home ice advantage. They can't use their.
Okay, throw him on hold, Mullins.
Yeah, we might
have to call him back. I don't. That's not going to work.
But that's probably the one that says it's enough. Like, we can't. You know, that was cutting out too much. Yesterday was teetering. This one's today.
We were on the line with CJ Spiller. Was like, yeah, it's audible. Like, I know what he's saying. Yeah. That you couldn't.
But the thing is, I want to hear what Ray has to say about this, because it's to me, I'm fine with it. You're right. 40 people or 50 people not traveling. It's just, I don't know. Like, is there a layer of familiarity where, whether even you're the road team or your home team, on paper, like,
Of course, it's like your rink. You know the angles. You feel comfortable there.
You know that corner. You know. Like, I don't know if that really is that big of a difference. I just think it does give a competitive edge.
Here's the thing, though, that you got to remember. Then, if that's the case, you have to have then a hub in the East and the West, or you're dealing with a hub of a team that isn't in the top 24. Because let's say it's Vegas or Edmonton. Well, then one of them is going to be at home. Like, they're both in the West. So either Edmonton's going to be at home or Vegas is going to be at home. Well, I'm talking about the conference.
Oh,
like,
okay.
The Western Conference hub is in either Vegas or in Edmonton. So one of them's going to be home. Unless, if that's a problem, then you need an Eastern hub. Right. And I don't know. Maybe that's where Toronto comes into play.
I see it in Edmonton and I see it in Vegas, and everyone's on the same page.
But that's not possible then. Here, we got Ray back. Did you say Edmonton and Vegas are the two options, you think? Like, if that's the case, one of them's going to be home.
It sounds like those are up in the top of the group. But I don't think there's much home ice advantage anyway.
Why no East, though, Ray? Like, they just can't find a venue, or what's going on in the East?
Maybe they can't. I got to believe there's somebody in the East. But here's the thing, guys. So, like, say the biggest advantage you would have if you're playing at home with no fans, with no atmosphere, is your locker room. Because the rinks are all the same size. They're all lit the same. It's not like when we had to go in and play in some of those old band boxes, right, that were the size of your closet. Like, there are no rinks like that anymore. So the Oilers, if you're in Edmonton as a hub, they can't use their locker room. You don't get those facilities. You got to be in the dressing rooms like everybody else. And so, to me, what would be the advantage? Like, you can say there's I heard you guys saying, like, about a corner bounce and things. But for the most part, guys, like, that's not really even that big of an advantage, I would say, anymore. I don't even think the guys would think about it. Like, this game, I've said this before, these hubs could be on the moon or in NHL cities, and it doesn't particularly matter. It's just the rink. Like, everybody's in the same rink. The games are in the same place. I think that, you know, having everything seems to be one extra complication that they've already got an incredibly complicated problem to try to solve. Don't make more of it.
Well, the 2014 playoff, like, that appears to be where they're going, and we've talked about that extensively, and I've come around to it. I really like it. I remember what I said when we first started this back in mid-March. I said I hope I'd be disappointed if they didn't take advantage of this unique situation to try something different, get crazy. It's going to be different. It's going to feel different. It's going to be a different journey. Some people are going to place an asterisk on it. Some people are going to call it the COVID Cup. So do it. They're going to complain anyway, so you might as well throw something at the wall and give it a shot.
Yeah, and if you win, nobody cares. You still have a ring.
You still won. Exactly. And I like it. I like the idea of the top four seeds having a little mini tournament to seed themselves, and then 5 versus 12, 6 versus 11. I like it. I think it's going to be fun. And
but Brian, like, here's the thing I think that's getting tossed around, like, you know, it won't be legitimate, it's not as hard. I'm like, wait till those guys are in the middle of the second round that they play. They're going to feel like they've been run over by a truck.
Yeah.
The only thing that's going to be different is they don't have to travel. But everything else, when those games start, they'll have a feel, I think, like early season hockey. And once the juices kick in, once the brain kicks in, man, we're 12 wins away from a cup. It's not going to matter that it's, you know, for the competitiveness of it. It'll all look different. It'll all sound different. That's never going to change this year. But this is not going to be easier to win a Stanley Cup than any other year. Because once the playoffs start, the rest of it is all gone. They'll get a start because they're healthy, You know, teams will get injured players back that weren't going to be available to them prior. But once they start, it's going to be the same slog, man. I think it's going to be hard as heck to win.
Yeah, I agree. There's even more teams potentially that you have to go through. There's a whole new round for a lot of the teams. And
yeah, the other one thing that I kept thinking about, I don't know what you guys would think, is the thought process is going to have to be from some of these players, almost like you're playing in a tournament, like the provincials. Do you remember in minor hockey you would go you're right, but you're going to throw everything out the window, right? Like, you make a great point, is like there's not a lot of home bounces anymore and all that, and it's going to be empty arena, so it could be on the moon or anywhere. But whether it's in the West or in the East, everyone's going to be on the same time zone anyways. And they're going to play – one team's going to have to play a 4 o'clock game. One team's going to have to play a 1 o'clock game. And it's going to feel like you're at the provincials, because it's like, hey, we got a game tomorrow at 4 o'clock, and there's one at 1 that before you, and there's one at 7 after. Like, to me, it's going to feel like you're at one of these, like, Kamloops international tournament.
It will be. It'll be an old-school tournament feel, and I think the teams are going to embrace that. At first, they'll be like, this is weird and annoying, and then you'll get 3 weeks in, you'll be like, this is awesome. Like, I honestly do believe that it's going to be the most unique. It will be. I mean, just based on the circumstances, no other teams in history will ever go through what these teams are about to go through.
No, and there's a possibility of a team that could, like, had no business being in the playoffs, that could win the Stanley Cup.
Of course, but even just being, like, quarantined, being in a hotel, being in one city, not jumping on a plane for 2 months, there's a lot that's going to be different than any other cup run. And I also think the concern that, okay, no fans, what will the energy be like? Wait till some guy gets punched in the face, and then it'll be, okay, I'm on. Like, let's go. Wait till I get hit from behind, and then I don't care if there's no one in the building. I'm chasing you around the rink, right? Hey,
one time we played an exhibition game. They just opened up this new rink in Boise, Idaho. And so L.A. and San Jose were playing, and the ice wasn't great. It wasn't all set in. And our captain, I think it was Rob Blake, went and talked to one of the San Jose guys before the game and was like, hey, guys, like, man, it's the last exhibition game or second last game. Let's just kind of, like, get through the thing. Well, the first shift, somebody got thumped behind the net. It was a bloody war. Like, we're like, what the? We were on the bench going, what the hell is going on here? And now just think when you actually have something on the line. Some guy's going to get hit, and he's going to be PO'd, and he's going to run somebody, or he's going to slash somebody. Then a ref is going to make a call that somebody doesn't like. And they're going to tell him how much he stinks, and pretty soon it's on. Yeah. Like that's how I think the games will go. It's going to be weird as heck not to hear noise when we watch it. I saw a highlight from a Korean baseball game, and this guy hit a home run, and you could hear the pitcher grunting as he threw it, and then you heard the crack of the bat, and you know usually you'd hear the fans, nothing. Right? Just nothing. It looked like a Little League game. Ball just went up out over the fence, and the guy ran around. And then they had a bunch of cutouts in the stands that they showed. Like, it was the weirdest thing. And I'm like, yeah, but the game was the same. The game was, you know, the highlight was the same. It was a pitcher trying to strike out a hitter. And I think that's what we're going to get. Us guys that get to sit at home and watch it, that's what we're going to get. All this other complicated stuff is going to get worked through, and then people are going to complain all over the place. They're not going to like it. They're going to hate this. They're going to not like that. And it's going to be the best that the league can do.
Yeah, exactly. You got to deal with the cards uphill, you get dealt.
Right? Yeah. The whole thing is fighting uphill. And can you make it work? And can you make this 2014 thing fit and be adjusted? And quite frankly, I don't know what you guys thought. I was surprised today when I read it. I'm like, oh, so the top seeds are going to play each other.
Yeah.
Like, okay, that kind of makes sense.
I like that.
I was like, right. I was like, while the other teams are bashing their brains out in the best of five, trying to get through, yeah, I see that. But I also think the best teams are going to be the best teams anyway. You know, Montreal's, everyone looking at that matchup of Pittsburgh-Montreal and Carey Price, and of course that is a game changer. But Montreal's still got their team. And Pittsburgh's still got Crosby and Malkin. So I'm going to pick Pittsburgh. I don't care about Carey Price. Now, maybe you'll get upset, but I think in the most part, the best teams are still going to be the best teams.
Right. Well, we talked about that earlier, that the players aren't actually scared. Like, you think Sidney Crosby's scared? Like that he's playing Montreal in the first round? No chance.
But you're right. And Brian and Ray, like, here's the other thing, too. Was anybody scared of Carolina? All of a sudden, Carolina went on a run 2 years ago. Like, you know what I mean? Like, these storylines, whether you're 16
anyone can
seed,
do it.
Like, anybody, like, that's my point is everyone's talking about Montreal and Carey Price. Like, it could be Minnesota. Like, it could be the Minnesota Wild that go on a run out of nowhere. Yeah. But it also could just be that Tampa and Boston in the East, or it could be, you know what I mean?
And that's like, where you should put your money. Like, right. Realistically, if you're smart, you should still bet on it being one of Washington or Boston or Tampa in the East. And, you know, out West, it should be St. Louis or Vegas. Like, that's what you should be betting on, best teams.
But technically, we have no idea if Kucherov has been sitting in his basement drinking beer and eating chips.
Of course,
we have no idea if Vasilevsky has stretched once. Like, you know, like that's the thing. That's the beauty of all of this is we're going to see a little round, like a couple exhibition games. You're going to be like, that guy's put on 15 pounds. This guy looks like he's done nothing through.
24
I mean?
Teams, guys. Everybody can weigh in on this. How many guys do you think total show up out of shape?
8.
Yeah, I was going to say 10. I don't think many.
Yeah, me too, 10.
Not many.
Yeah, I don't think a lot. But I'll tell you, as this plan, you know, now seems like, hey, it's not locked in, but holy smokes, this is kind of seems like it's going to be. There were a few guys that rode the bike a little harder today.
Exactly. And that's what I was thinking. I saw a report that came out all of a sudden. It's like, yeah, LeBron's actually been in a gym somewhere in L.A. for the last, you know, couple of weeks working out with teammates. Like breaking news, they're all working out now. They all know what's happening. Like it's
they're not like us. That I don't know how you guys have been, but I started out. I was working out a lot, man. I was getting in pretty good shape, and then I'm like, okay, I don't want to get on a bike today.
Yeah,
the hell with it. But all we got to do is talk about it. They got to, you know, I suspect there's not many guys that have shut it down.
No, but the you know to finish this point from my side is. There are going to be guys who are having magical seasons. Everything they touched went in the net. Everything that they, you know, that will be starting from square one. There'll be guys who have had dog crap seasons that will look like their old selves. Like, this is a new season. You can't go, well, 4 months ago, this guy was brilliant, so he's going to hit the ground running.
Doesn't matter.
They're all on the same template. They're all going to be starting from ground zero. We'll see who has a good season. You know what I mean?
Well, you know what? That's Noodle's really great point because the guys that have had career years, that year is now over.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Unfortunately, we haven't got to the playoffs yet, but we all had a career year, our best year, where we knew as it was going along, holy crap, everything's going just great. I can't believe this. Like for me, I scored again. Man, I played terrible tonight. I got 2 points. And, you know, like those years just happened. There's been such a gap. That's finished. Guys will, in my opinion, to your point, Jamie, they'll regress towards what they normally are. And then there'll be some guy from left field who's got 3 goals this year, and he's going to be on fire.
Right.
And it'll be like from nowhere. I mean, the whole thing's a crapshoot, but I still get back to the teams with the best players are still going to be the best teams. Like Toronto's defense didn't get better from March the 12th to now.
Yeah, I agree. And Hayes said it, Ray. He's like, bet on Boston, Tampa, and you know, Vegas and St. Louis. But there's going to be a John Druce or a Chris Kontos or somebody that comes out of nowhere and just lights it up for a month and is like...
Oh, there will be.
Great storyline. That's
Vegas
great for us.
Vegas will be terrified because this is the last thing Vegas wants because there will be people that are like, I might as well bet on this team. Why not?
Do you mean the actual team in Vegas or betting
on? I mean the house. Like they're going... Because this is a crapshoot. How they're going to handicap this, I don't know how you do. I mean... You have to handicap it based on what you know. And what you know is 70 games of data, Boston's better than Team X, right? Montreal's worse than Team Y. But it's a crapshoot. Like,
do those guys ever come on the radio, Hayes? Like, would they ever come on and say how they do it?
Oh, yeah, we could get them on.
I want to talk to a guy like that.
Yeah,
okay,
because...
Okay, but just think of some of the guys that were hurt, that it seems like they were hurt 4 years ago.
I know.
And you're like, oh, they might be back. Like,
I think Jake Gensel will probably be close.
I was just going to ask you, like, that's the guy that comes to mind for me because he was so far gone. Like, would he be close to coming? Would Brian Little, I thought about Winnipeg this morning, would Brian Little be available?
Probably.
I don't know.
What about Tampa had five guys hurt?
Yeah.
Who's the defenseman in Long Island, too? That was
Pulak?
Out? Yeah.
Yeah, Pulak. Those guys,
he'll be back.
Like they were hurt years ago.
Yeah.
And they were told, you're out. Like, we'll see you next September. And now it's like,
Gensel, if I remember right, Gensel was going to be close for the conference finals. Well, here we are. That means he's going to be ready.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a game changer for sure.
Like,
yeah.
Holy smokes. Like, there's going to be some really fun stuff. And, man, I hope they've been able to plug as many holes as they can in their plans. Like, I hope they have. Because this thing is, every time I think about it, I'm like, damn, it doesn't get less complicated by the day. And as you get closer, it's like it gets even more complicated. But it is kind of fun to see, like, you know, just the matchups that they put up. And you're like, you know, you could talk about it. And you're like, wow, that's different. That's cool again. It's fun again.
That's real. Yeah. It's real.
Ray, have you talked to any players that are like, they have one thing, like a sticking point where they're like, if they don't do this, we're not doing it. Like, we're not playing? Or
The only thing that I had heard, and it was about a week ago, was that they were starting to grind in a little more on the, what does this all mean for the not just the cap, but the financial for next year? Like, because of course they're most concerned with the escrow.
Right.
And so the players were trying to get a little bit more information onto, does this system just stay the same and then next year's players get whacked with 35% escrow? Or is there a way that can be spread out over the next X number of years.
They have
and
to
that
cap.
That was the one Noodles that I heard from the couple guys that I talked to.
Well, yeah, I mean, finances are clearly, that's the priority for every business, and the uncertainty of where it's going in the future and who's going to pay the price, and the difference between the NHL, the NBA, and Major League Baseball is, you know, the NHL and the NBA, they've made their money this year for the most part, right? They're not detailing how much of a $10 million contract they're supposed to be making. But the future ramifications, there's going to be some. And I guess there is some uncertainty. But
you almost have to. And the position that the guys were taking was that we kind of have to know a little bit more before you start. Like, it's pretty hard once you're started or you're finished to say, oh, yeah, but I thought we were going to do this. And the league goes, yeah, bad break.
Well, you're right. Here's one thing. I know we got to go, Ray, but maybe we should do this tomorrow. Is award winners. Like, the regular season's going to be done.
Yeah.
Like, who's winning? Like, who's,
you know what's scary, Jamie? Like I got to think about, like, it's been so long. I got to think about, I'm going to have to look online, like, scoring and who's had a great year.
But
I can't even remember.
You know what I did, guys? I wrote, because we were getting down, I started, getting down into the finish for the awards that I vote on. I had made a list on the notes in my phone, and then I deleted it. I deleted it, and it's gone. I'm like, you know, because I deleted it in March, it goes away, and I'm like, oh, what a dummy. Like, that's past the 30 days. I'd already done all my research. I'm like, Ewell, I got to start again. I still think I got Leon Draisaitl first, but other than that, I don't think I can remember much else.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea, though, man. It'll get you back into the game. Kind
like,
of,
Hayes, you know, off the top of your head, tell me who the Norris Trophy winner is from last year.
Last year or this year?
This season. Like,
oh, this
Carlson,
year
would, John Carlson.
Carlson or Yossi. It's going to be one of the two of them. I think Yossi might get it. But I think it's Carlson or Yossi, I think. I think it's a two-man race.
Yeah, I think so.
But I was so, you know, confident in what I had on my list, but I can't even, that's 2 months ago.
Yeah.
Like, well, it's like it's a different world, and all, I guess that'll all get presented, right? Like, it's all going to happen.
We'll do that tomorrow. We'll do the award winners. All of us has to come up with a list.
Okay,
you know,
we'll come up with
the first
tonight.
Thing? The first thing should be you'd have to name the awards. See if we can even remember those.
I know, exactly. My brain doesn't even work. Well, this guy, Rob, just sent in a tweet with, I think this has the potential to be a great idea and an incredible visual. We were talking about this about 15 minutes ago, the tournament-style setup. Right, where everyone's in the same hub and everyone's using the same rink. He said, how great would it be if the other players for the next game were sitting in the stands, like watching the game? Like in a tournament, remember when you were a kid, you're
tournament.
Stretching?
Yeah, exactly.
How awesome would that be? Like, it's just the boys.
Could you have a banquet in the other arena at the end of the tournament?
I guess so. You're right. That's what they
should
do.
Remember those banquets at the tournament?
Oh, yeah.
The best. Every kid in his bad suit and just lined up, and the coach has just told them before they go in there, if you do one thing stupid, I'm going to kill you in there. You're representing your hometown and your parents. And
the coach has whiskey on his breath. Because
he's the guy that should be getting the pep talk, not
exactly.
The kids.
Exactly.
But that would be great, man. A game a couple hours later after the game, they're already at the building, and they're like, we'll sit up here and watch the first period before we go down the stretch.
Hey, who's that number 14 down there? He's pretty good.
He's a pretty good player.
Exactly.
I like that idea.
So funny. I love it.
All right, buddy. Well, we got some homework tonight, so we'll do that tomorrow at 5.
Beautiful. Have a great day, guys. We'll talk to you then.
There's Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline, website mapletoyota.com. We got Bob McKenzie in about an hour, so we'll get back into this with Bob. I do want to touch on the top 16 cup winners since 67 up on NHL.com. And we do have some role play level of concern. I guess we'll get to that, and we'll do that a little bit later this hour. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. So I just pulled off the most amateur move of all amateur moves in the kitchen.
What did you do?
Well, we're talking about grazing, of course. So what did I do? I go up. I'm like, I'm in the mood to go grazing.
All right, for so what?
I didn't have anything in mind when I got up there. But I walk up, and there's a pizza that had just been cooked. And because I'm not familiar with the timeline, I do the walk up, pick up, and bite. And
I'm biting,
my wife goes, she goes, I literally just pulled that out. Like, she's like yelling, like, stop, like slow motion. I just burnt the top of my mouth.
Sure.
I might have to go to the hospital tonight. Like, it.
Oh, no.
There is skin that is off the roof of my mouth.
Do you guys have one secret snack that you kind of like diving into that nobody really knows about?
Well,
I know mine. It's plain Ruffles with cream cheese. You get a cream cheese and a plain Ruffle, and you dive deep, and it is money.
Cream cheese?
Cream cheese.
Yes.
Do you have the right cheese? Are you thinking of the right cheese?
Just don't talk about it.
Like who?
Just try it. When next time you're at a grocery store, get a thing of cream cheese and get some plain Ruffles and go for a deep dive, and you'll never go back.
See,
I will. I will go back. I won't go there, so I won't have to worry about going back.
You're not even going to try it?
No, I won't. Listen,
well, cream
Ruffles,
cheese, I don't know.
Regular Ruffles is an all-time great chip. I will say that. It is a spectacular chip.
Yeah.
But cream cheese, like that doesn't sound right, dude. Are you sure you're talking about the right thing? Like
cheese. Like, what's
that's
it called?
Tough.
Philadelphia cream cheese?
Yeah, Philadelphia cream cheese. You put it on your bagel.
On a bagel. Yeah, you put it on a bagel.
Get the Ruffle into that. Hazy, you have to have something that's kind of weird.
I have that upstairs. My wife is a cream cheese fanatic when it comes to bagels. Like, we don't eat a lot of bagels, but when we do, she likes it with cream cheese. So I'm sure I have it. I don't have a Ruffle in the house.
No, I'm saying, what's your go-to? You must have a snack where you're
I'll tell you what. It's very similar in nature, and it's equally as disgusting. People are going to cringe at this. It is disgusting, and I inherited this from my older sister, and we inherited it from my mom. Same thing, plain chips. A Ruffle is perfect. A plain or a regular Ruffle, and you pour vinegar on it.
What?
So you make a salt and vinegar chip without the salt.
Without the salt, but it's like doused in vinegar. It's basically a pool of vinegar with chips floating around.
That is way worse than what
That's
I
gross.
Just said.
It's
That's
disgusting,
gross.
But it's amazing. Try
that
it.
That is actually disgusting. And who the hell
amazing.
Came up with that and started doing it?
My mom did. My mom.
Wow.
That was her go-to, I guess, as a kid. And we got into it. I don't think my youngest sister ever got into that, but my older sister and I, we would fight over just a bottle of vinegar just so
that's
we could fire it up.
Gross. It's so it sounds like Trailer Park Boys.
It is. It is. It's basically Ricky in Bubbles.
Like, Noodles, you got to have one.
It's just, I think I've told you guys, it's my cereal mix. Like, I mix cereals at night. So I'll put shredded wheat with, like, Lucky Charms on top of it. And
that's kind of too healthy, though, Noodles. You got to have something that's just disgusting.
Yeah, like, do a Fruit Loop with a Lucky Charm with a Captain Crunch.
Well, no, listen, I'm trying to think. Like, I mix cereals because of the flavor. Like, I like, I'm trying to think. Like, I like popcorn. Like, I'm a pretty plain eater. I don't know if there's anything that, like, would disgust you guys. Like, I don't know. Like, well, do you guys like kielbasa?
No, I'm not a huge fan, but, it's a delicacy. People are into that.
I'm sometimes into it, but just the look of it kind of grosses me out, to be honest. It's just
like cabbage rolls? Are you down with that?
No, brutal. Brutal.
See, I love a cabbage roll.
See, I don't
like
cabbage.
I'll tell you what, roll every window in your house down after cabbage rolls, because it is a fart barn.
It is, but
gross.
I unroll the cabbage and just eat what's inside it, which is basically the meat and the rice.
Yeah.
But
what's the point then? So you're not eating a cabbage roll. Yeah. You're eating meat and rice.
I'm eating meat and rice from a cabbage roll. Okay. That's basically it. I don't know. You put me on the spot. Now I'm trying to think backwards from some of the bad habits I have.
Give
you
us
guys
something
know, I like
disgusting.
The,
okay, you're very like a, plain. You're very
like
plain.
That vinegar one is gross.
That vinegar
one is disgusting.
That I'm telling you, dude. Try it. You try that, and I'll try your Ruffles and cream
what
cheese.
What I want to know is, like, do you heat it up after the vinegar goes?
No. You put in the chips into a bowl, so they're just dried out chips, and then you do a pour over. And the top ones are just kind of doused, so it's like a chip with a little bit of vinegar.
So it is a fight to get to that top chip.
Oh, it's the best. But, like, once you get to the bottom, dude, those are doused. Like, they're basically seasoned in vinegar. Like, they're just – they've been in there for 5 minutes, and it's vinegar. You're eating vinegar with texture. That's what it is.
It sounds like
vinegar.
Rednecky. Like it's
it is.
Yeah, but that,
that's
move.
Beautiful. Though.
That will clean your palate. Like that'll actually clean out your sinuses and everything. Because you'll breathe right. That'll go right through your body.
Yeah.
Like,
everything. Right to the core.
I guess that's gross. Like
it's healthy. It's actually healthy.
Yeah, the chips. Yeah, I'm not a big chips guy. That's when you guys are talking about all these dips and that. You know what I've started to eat is these crackers. Like baguette crackers.
Very good.
No. Are you guys on the you're on the return. Like you guys can see this. Can you see me on the return?
I don't have it.
That's a veteran cracker.
These little tiny crackers. They're rosemary parmesan crackers.
No, I know exactly what
baguette.
You're talking about.
And I've been starting to put a little block of cheese, like a little mozzarella cheese, like a cheese cubes. I'll put a cube on that and eat that.
Okay.
Well, that's veteran.
I don't think
like
it's
that.
Gross.
I can do that. That's
totally doable.
I'm not doing
dude.
Ever.
That's like kind of a high class snack, to be honest.
That's a rich
like,
snack.
That's a very is an upper middle class snack. It's not caviar, but it's not vinegar poured over chips, like I'm rolling. Now Melissa tweeting and saying the O-Dog is right. Ruffles and cream cheese is an absolute go-to snack.
It's probably a delicacy.
Give it a go. Like give it a go.
Well, Peg Bundy here, she'll try that because she loves chips.
I'll bet you Steph would love the vinegar and chips. I'll bet you because there's support. There's people, Gary writing in. Gary, I love it. Gary.
Nobody wrote in and said, I do the vinegar trick too.
Justin wrote in and said, my mom did the chip and vinegar as well. And Gary wrote in and said, all parents have shown the kids the chip with vinegar. I guess it was an old school go-to move. Like, I don't know where they picked it up from.
I've never heard of that.
Yep, I'm telling you, this is a real account. Gary 929592911, so you know it's real.
Yeah.
Couldn't be a Russian bot.
Not at all. Russian bot listening to us. That's a burner account.
Could be a
you
burner account by Jerry Taylor.
Anyway,
role play level of concern. We'll get to that at 6 o'clock. Bob McKenzie coming up in the 6 p.m. hour as well. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
I gotta tell you guys, I think the most overrated like snack things is like everyone that says like get me some hell of a good dip. I think that's a little bit overrated.
Yeah,
it's called
that's not
hell
my
of,
thing either.
No, it's like I think it's called hell of a good dip. It's like it's not that good of a
one.
Dip.
Well, it is a great handle, though. I'll give them that. I mean, if you're going to start a dip company, hell
it's
of a
good handle.
It's a great.
It is a good handle. It's sharp.
Basically, it's a pitch, right? Like, you look at that, you're like, hey, it's a hell of a good dip. I'll go with it. Even if you don't think it's that great, you have to ask for it. Like, hey, right. Can you pass me the hell of a good dip? That's like basically you're saying, I think it's a hell of a good dip.
Yeah. Well, it's like giving yourself
around regardless.
It's like giving yourself a great nickname, like Lundqvist, the king.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you're the king.
Exactly. Well,
even though if you're not.
We were talking about, like, injured players that could return, and someone mentioned Tarasenko. Would Tarasenko be able to come
available.
Back?
I read that the other day.
Wow, that's a game changer.
Imagine the year that St. Louis had without him. He got injured very early last year. Like, he was gone.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Just reel him right back in your lineup. It'd be unreal.
That's it's not even an under the radar. That's a superstar coming back to a team that's already a top flight team.
Yep. Yeah.
I don't think St. Louis get enough love. Like, they've got a chance to repeat.
They're the Raptors, man. They're it's the exact same thing. Like, they didn't have a Kawhi that left them, but they were a team that they don't get a ton of love, and they went on an unbelievable run, and it was like, okay, good for you. Now we're going back to the teams that we usually talk about, and St. Louis is doing it again. They're the top seed in the West. Like, there's no reason why they can't win. The Raptors, there's no reason why they can't win. They probably won't based on the odds and the numbers and all that and how difficult it is to do it back-to-back years. But you're right. They don't get enough attention. They don't get enough love.
Well, we were just talking about, you know, the 24-team format, and I was like, yeah, you know, Tampa, Boston, and then I'm thinking out West. And then, you know, in the break, I'm like, why am I not saying St. Louis as a top-flight team in there? Like, they are.
They are.
They have
a recipe there where that Binnington is real good, and they just know how to win now. They're kind of like Boston, where something clicked in with them years ago where they're like, okay, this is our formula. We got to have a solid goaltending. We got to play this way, and we have enough talent where we're going to win more games than we lose, and it's like a factory.
Yeah. Well, they, you know, and the only guy really they're missing would be Bouwmeester, but they replaced him with Scandella at the deadline, right? Mm-hmm, and assigned him to an extension. Like, I think they're at least poised to, you know, give some people some trouble.
Well,
like,
if I'm betting right now on who I think is going to win the Stanley Cup this summer, if it happens and it's a 24-team playoff format, I don't think I'm getting past five before St. Louis gets named.
I agree.
I don't think I'm naming five teams who I would put ahead of St. Louis. Now, I will say this. They're kind of an older team. They're a grittier team. Like, they're physically daunting. I don't know what the style of play is going to look like. Like, I don't know whether it's going to be the conventional, like, grueling, grinded out, blocking shots, 2-1 games. Like, I don't know if that's going to happen.
Wouldn't you say, Hayes, after the break, the last thing any team is going to do? Like, my one fear is that it's already the no-hit league. Like, nobody hits. Like, that grinding, grueling thing, it's like, I don't think anybody wants to grab a guy in the corner and, like, hold him against the boards. It's literally going to be like, I'm not touching that guy. There's no hit.
Like, you know what? Like, you can't think like that. If you play like that, you're not going to be effective. Like, you can't go on the ice going, somebody out here has got COVID. Like, then you might as well not play.
Yeah,
like,
that's, well,
we
play.
Talked about that.
But
yesterday.
I just think there's going to be a bunch of teams that are going to be like, I don't want to kind of go near that guy, and I don't want to do this or do that, where, see, like, scrums and, like, punching in the face. And
well, these guys better figure it out. And I'm that's not a threat or anything. They've got to figure out a comfort level of how they're going to play. Like, to me, if I'm going to get on the ice and start to think, okay, if I'm a goaltender and there's a guy in my crease and he's got a runny nose and he's coughing at a whistle and I'm concerned about that, all of a sudden he's in my mind. Like, then I'm thinking, I'm not reacting. To me, I think it's just going to be instinct. These guys are going to play. They're going to be tested. They're going to believe that they're in a safe environment. And to me, it's balls to the wall. And the minute that you start to think about anything else, that's where you're going to get yourself in trouble. That's just my interpretation.
And that's where the baseball reports are coming out. Again, I read that report this morning, and I believe, like, big leaguers are willing to put their name on it. I knew this was going to happen. I knew the owners were going to go over the top with safety precautions and restrictions and rules, And the players are going to be like, really? Like, what's the point of playing if we have to play like that? So now the players are going to push back, I believe they will, and say, well, why don't we take this out? Why don't we loosen up here? Why don't we loosen up there? And I think, you know, maybe the same thing's going to apply with all these leagues. Like, once you – I would think if I'm a player, I want testing, I want safety measures, and I'm willing to do whatever I have to. But the second I get on the field to play, I want it to be just like it was 3 months ago.
Yeah.
I don't want to be thinking about anything. I don't want to be changing the way I play, the way I talk. Like, that's another thing. Even just smack talk right now with an empty building and mics picking everything up.
Or, like, interaction with a referee, like just being able to talk to a ref. It's like
– exactly. Have a coach lean over your shoulder to talk to you, right? Like, I don't want to be turning around and being like, sorry, I can't hear you, coach, because you have to be 6 feet away with a mask
and you got
on.
And you got a mask on, No, you know? It's weird.
Yeah, these are all considerations, but I would guess a large portion, if not every athlete, would want to play the real game the way it's always played once you get there.
Right.
Once you get there. And if you got to jump through hoops to get there based on testing and – quarantine measures and all that, so be it. But I think that's almost got to be the case. Bob McKenzie in the next hour on the latest updates of the 24-team playoff picture, the hub cities and all that, and role play level of concern to kick off the hour. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.